It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
Hello, my name is Nate Scott, author of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. And I just want to welcome you to Life is Rich podcast with Nate Scott. And today is a very, very special day. It is Friday, Financial Freedom Friday, and I got a very special live presentation for you. I want to give you something special because this is the new year. We're just now rolling into a new administration, and therefore it's about the season of giving. Today I have Dame Nicola Smith Jackson. If you don't know that name off the top, you will absolutely get to know her, and I'm delighted to bring her to you. And so for those of you that are just joining us for the very first time, life is rich means living fullness every day. Realize I'm Christ's heir. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. It's a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship, specifically addressing the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring facing a cash flow danger, that 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 in retirement, that 47% of people say if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it, and 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. It's about how to think versus what to think. How to think versus what to think. And so to that end, we aim to each and every time bring you information that can be of value to you. And so we're going to test you. We want you to let us know what you get of value from this information that we share today. And so without any further ado, I want to bring Dame Nicola Smith Jackson. Dame, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Nate. I'm very excited to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to jump right into it. I want them to just get the down and dirty on who you are as a person, because the reality is that's what I've grown so fond of. You have titles, you have tremendous success, and I don't want you to hold it back, because your story is the thing that sets the tone for everything else. So please, don't be modest. I need you to walk us through who you are.
Well, I don't know about the being modest. I am extremely humbled because I definitely wasn't after the titles and all of that type of thing. And I can tell you, for me, everything that I have, I definitely owe it to God, and I owe it to the introduction, I would say, that divine introduction that I had through a lot of pain that I've been through. By the time I was 23, buried three children, and I was a single mom. And then when I found out at age two of one of my children that he has cerebral palsy, and now he's like 23, he's never walked a day in his life. But even through all of those things and all of the hardships that I've had, God still, saw it worthy to bless me in so many ways. And so those pains just had me create a passion for really helping people, and also making complex things simple. My life just seems so complex, and I see people make a lot of things complex, right? And it's so heavy. And so I had to think simplified. When you're there as a single mom and you're, 25 years old with a child that's still not walking, and then now you're 30 years old and a child is still not walking. At that moment, your life becomes, I could say I was more of a nurse to my children than before I was even a mom. Two children coming out of NICU, where what you do made the difference if this child lived or not. Whole different thing of just bringing home bundles of joy. Thank God that, fast forwarded later, I begin to get in my word and begin to know mind hacks that really manifest what you want in your life. And, began to use affirmations through my last pregnancy, where my son is 13 years old now, and literally delivered him full term. He had a 99 APGAR score. And, you know, by now, of course, married 15 years to my Boaz, along with, and, you know, Boaz don't mean perfect. You know, I am just all the way real all the time. I just feel like it's just more freeing, right? People looking for freedom, free yourself and just be in truth. And so, but I can't see doing this life any way different with anyone else. And so it's just us, and we are God first and in family and in everything else. And it just worked out, you know, to be a multi-million dollar empire.
And, you know, the humility in which you share your story is so endearing. And I really appreciate the journey in which you've made, because I can see God's hand working through your life. And that is the story that precedes you, and it exudes from you. You know, we can only give that which is in us. And the way you impact lives is a direct reflection of the compassion that you earned as a result of the experiences which God has blessed you with, the opportunity and the responsibility to walk through. Because we know he gives us that which we can handle, and he does it to give us increased capacity, which is meant for elevation. And you carry it so well. So I salute you for that. Let me ask you.
It's surreal to me still, you know, overworked hairstylist to leading over, you know, nearly a half a million people into entrepreneurship and that, you know, becoming a go-to person. And you're like, whoa, I can remember my life where I wouldn't have wanted to go to it. And then, you know, so, but, you know, there are some instructions and some principles that I discovered and began to live them. And so here I am.
Yeah. Let me ask you, so how did that journey really turn into your stepping stone? When did you really say, you know what, there's something that I can appreciate about this step that I went through? Can you think of a time when you actually start to see it in the context of where you've arrived?
Well, absolutely. One of the things is that I realized that a lot of the problems that I had in my life, you know, they were self-inflicted. It was basically off of decisions that I made. You know, I had a decent rearing. My parents, immigrants, came from, you know, Panama and Jamaica into the States for us to have a better life. And they did whatever they could, you know, from working in people's homes to taking care of people's children to working in warehouses. And, you know, my mom worked at one point two jobs while she was in here school. And I still was a great, you know, student in school, but I had that little rebellious edge thing, you know, you want that little risk. And so I ended up with the wrong crowd. I chose the wrong crowd. In the timing of when I grew up, I wouldn't say that's all we saw, but that was closer in proximity where men did the wrong thing to make money. And you don't really, if you see something so often and it's so common, after a moment, you stop thinking it's the wrong thing, right? Someone can tell you, if you have more people telling you something that's wrong is right, and then only a few people telling you something, you know, the opposite, like, the majority will win if you don't know who you are. And there had to be a time where I didn't obviously know who I really was. And so I ended up with those two children, taking them into prisons to meet with their dads. And people tell me sometimes, hey, secure that part. Why? The turning point for me was one time I was taking my children into prison. I had to take both of them. I was a single mom. And so when we would go to one to see one dad, we bring the other. And they were babies. One was a baby and the other one was like right at two. And I can remember before we were leaving the visit, my two-year-old ran back to try to get to his dad for a last hug and went back behind the bar, behind the door. And I like was like, we're not coming back. We're not coming back. I had to take responsibility that if I continued that, that I would have to also be okay with whatever my son decided. I couldn't now, if he decided to take that road, now that I knew that that was wrong, I would also have to take responsibility. And because of that, you know, both of my sons, they're not perfect, but they've never had to go there. And that is a huge turnaround. I know people will always ask me about, all of these accolades that I do in business or what have you, but it was because I knew that we had to have more than enough money for my son who always needed a wheelchair during growth spurts, that the government will say you can only get one chair per 3 years, but he might do a growth spurt and his body's leaning over in a chair. I'm supposed to keep pushing him in that chair or watching him in that chair? No, I had to go and get more money. And so in that standpoint, I prayed to God and I said, please remove anything unclean from my life. Mm-hmm. And he's given me that where even when there is a sense of it, I get a heightened awareness of it. And then he also, I said, I will just serve you all of my days. If you just show me, I will do what you tell me to do. And trust me, it didn't come overnight. It wasn't like this big voice, like God, like, this is what you do. No, I didn't hear that. I don't know if he talks like that. And as a matter of fact, Holy Spirit whispers. I see that in movies and I'm like, well, why haven't I ever heard those? I'm like, maybe I'm not good enough. I've never heard that kind of conversation with God. But through people, and you might hear a whisper, and you might say that's your gut or your intuition or what have you, I began just to serve people. I was a hairstylist at first, and I just treated people so well that when they came into the salon, they almost never wanted to leave. And I kept that same thing throughout, you know, into the next industries where I understood only one place money comes from, people. And every person has needs. I've been all around the world and they all have the same needs where they want certainty and they want like variety. They want some excitement. They want love and connection and they want growth and contribution. And everyone wants that. And so if you can be a solution to whatever is missing, whether it's in their natural need or their spiritual need, then, you won't have to labor like people do for money, right? We're talking about financial freedom, but the first thing is you're gonna need to be free in your mind and spirit so you can have that money and, you know, not be a public success and a private mess. I just didn't wanna be, I just tried hard. That's probably one of my biggest goals to keep working, to be in full alignment of not about what I teach. It's not about shame. It's about me just wanting to feel good on the inside about what I do.
Oh man. Yeah, truly about the alignment and being able to go back and understand that there is a real why for you. You know, yeah. Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, is something that I found to be very impactful because I saw something written that kind of framed the way that I thought about purpose. And, you know, he's got this diagram of a bullseye in the middle. You got start with why, and then on the next ring is how, and then an outer ring is what. And I can hear that throughout your life. And I think that if you know, people toss out, you know, start with why and, you know, what's your why, but it's really never really anchorage. And I can hear it for you. I can also appreciate you speak of remembering how you were as a hairstylist and those that mannerism, that care, the consideration, the role in which you play, and how that translated into everything else that you've gone forth to do. That reminds me of a great book, Master of One, because in that book, it talks about how God creates us as beings for his purpose, and that we can't be everything to everyone, and we can't do everything. We hear that thing, we talk about, jack of all trades, master of none. Well, that right there is that same thing, is that literally I can hear that there's a common thread that goes through from way back when that continues to shine forth. Is that accurate?
It is. And what we're describing is the core values, the core, what really makes you tick. And I tell people, you know, those core values, like one of mine is excellence. So in that, if you really care about people, you're going to care about what you do, and you even, you know, you're going to want to deliver in excellence because you're expecting a reciprocity excellence, right? So this is how you can start leveling up, and you're just 100% right in the idea of, I just would say, okay, Lord, if I do everything that you tell me to do, then you've already said you're going to do everything that you told me you would do. And then it worked. I don't want people to make this complicated because I see that so often, that, and I know why, because it's hard. it feels hard only until you make the mind shift, right? Until you make the mind shift that, okay, it's not hard, it's doable. That's another level, right? You don't go from it's hard to I'm a winner. Take the first step of it's not hard, it's doable. So now that means that you're going from potential to possibility. So now it's possible, right? And then now you can say, okay, it's possible. That may allow you to start making some moves towards the possibilities. And the more you do that consistently with all your heart and your soul and your mind, then now you go into prosperity. Like it starts to, and it's a graduated thing, but then once you get that thing and it becomes like a part of who you are, it's like, I either want to be in it or not. So now that way, you know, you're going to deliver excellence. You say, okay, if I make the decision, I'm going to do this, whatever that goal is. Like, even for me, when I was like, okay, I felt some kind of way, not even being able to deliver children full term, and they would always come home on all these different things. So I said, okay, well, I can't do anything about that. They said I had an incompetent cervix. I can't do anything about that. But let me tell you what I can do going forward. I can eat well. I can drink all the fluids, what they say, right? I'll take my vitamins. I'll even take walks, right? I'll make sure I'm doing my prayer and breathing so my mind is settled. I will speak to God. I speak to my baby. Then I started doing the things that I said, okay, well, I can't do anything about what happened, but I can do something about what I want to happen. So let me move into that place. And then I moved from, just like I said, that whole potential to the possibility. Like, even though a doctor told me, like, you're not going to have full-term health. And I moved from that possibility. And I said, hey, I started saying it over and over, these affirmations of a pregnant woman every day, right? And I didn't miss a day. And I spoke over my body and I spoke over my baby. And I'm telling you, it was so divine when I delivered them. But guess what? I realized I could do that with anything. And so when a downturn of the economy in 2008 came, and I was hearing the same people saying doom and gloom, I'm like, I heard them say that about me and my baby. Now, this was soon after I had them. And I'm like, okay, we're just about to celebrate. I finally had a full-term baby, and now the economy wants to tank, and now they want to threaten our family lifestyle. I said, Lord, there has to be something. And that's where I ended up in network marketing. And it's a longer story than that. But I said, okay, the same thing. I've never done this before, but it's doable, right? So it's possible. Other people have done it. I don't know what this is. And then I started doing it every day, whatever was being told to me, whatever would move me in a higher possibility. And then I earned my first 7 figures the first year. It was not magic. It was the principles. And I said, let me try it again, right? And I did, and it worked. And then I started showing that to other people and grew a very large organization. And, you know, these, of course, it's a little bit more, but I'm saying this is the basic principles that you can apply to anything that you want to change right now, including your finances, which it feels good. It feels better to be on that side of not being afraid of knowing what to do.
Yeah. And having the will to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you're having the will. I can hear the thread in that talking about principles, things that are unchanging.
That's right.
Things that if it works here, it works here, it works here. And no matter how many different ways you slice it, it's working, it's going to work. And that's why I said principle centered, biblically based.
Yep.
And I see that alignment because you're one of the few people that I know that I've seen effectively show their authentic self and not shrink what faith has meant in their life. That's significant for me because I know we both have an affinity for Matthew 6:33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And then that promise that we actually believe that all things thereafter shall be added unto you. You talk about that order of things. And I want everyone to know that there are believers out here that truly do trust God's word to be what it really says it is. And that's what excites me about you and the marketplace, and why I feel an obligation, a responsibility to lift you where I can lift you. because this message is a message that most people never experience.
Yeah.
And it can be very lonely trying to get it out there when you're fighting against the odds, because this here type of message of simply saying, hey, no, we're sold out for God. And as a result of that, we have an expectation that he's going to deliver what he said. So if we demonstrate our faith, he will demonstrate his faithfulness. And your story is a testimony to that.
Absolutely. And I use it even according to Deuteronomy 8 and 18. And it and this is how what you said, going against all odds, right? But if, you know, when you begin to understand that I listen and I say, okay, many of the people I know now, they weren't there in those days that I thought was dark, but it was only dark so I could see light, right? And so when I think about that, God said, hey, and remember, it's the Lord thy God that will give you the ability to gain wealth. And it was a promise way before I got here. So I'm like, oh, okay. So this ain't the first time you did this, Lord. So this is the deal, right? This is how I talk. Okay, so this is the deal with me. Like, I'm the daughter that I'm going to do what you say. So now I want that wealth. I don't want to have to leave the kids and run all over the place to go make money. And at first, that's what I did because that's what I knew. I knew labor. I'd been a hairstylist. I came from a family of, you know, Jamaicans say you work hard. You know, they call it, hey, man, you got every job. And it's really to say you're getting the money. But what the other part of the story was I also got to be a good steward over that. If there's only one place that money comes from is people, you got to treat people the way you want to be treated. And then you also have to treat money well so it sticks around. And if you treat it real good, it'll grow. And if you treat it real good, it'll stick around, grow, and take care of you. And so when I began to identify, to say, you know what? I master the money, not the other way around. And my master says that it all belongs to me because it's his. So what we're going to do is show me what I need to do with it. And I messed up bad at first. Like, I had earned my first million, and later on I was doing a financial, you know, I was doing a financial statement and realized that, how did you make $1 million when you only have $100,000 in the bank? How does that happen? How does 90% of your money go? And yeah, sure, I had a home, I had whatever, but I'm like, no, liquid cash. How does that happen? It's whatever you weren't measuring, something was being wasted or misallocated. I took responsibility. I didn't stay and lick the wounds. I said, 1 year from now, I'm going to follow what God said about this. And this is what I want people to know, is that with anything, even principle-based, you hear this, it's going to be just like you getting on, you know, the tricycle at first, and then maybe then now you get on the bike with the training wheels, and then now you know, I'm not saying how fast that can happen. It can happen much faster if you just commit and get disciplined. It can happen faster, but it still is going to be that progression. And you'll appreciate this part, because that process is what you can teach to other people. And that's all I've done. And then I taught people, hey, this is how you make the money. I got this part, right? I had made the money and messed it up. But then now this is how now you manage the money. You got to track it. And so the whole, you know, boring budget deal, no, it's exciting when you know that you're budgeting to look for how much money can you have to now go invest. And then now you put those soldiers to work for you. And then now eventually you can make a date to say, I no longer work for money. Money works for me. Money comes to me easily and frequently. I no longer work for money. Money works for me. Money comes to me easily and frequently. And I began to affirm these things. And then not only does the money come, but the people that will help you along the way. Because remember what I said, only one place that money comes from is people, even through whether the information. So after you now do that mind shift, now you say, okay, I am literally going to make some money, identify what that is. It was entrepreneurship for me, really good, because you can be entrepreneur and you can actually invest in many ventures after you manage that money, and now you can invest. And then you get mentorship to continue to grow and level up. So if you keep growing, then now so will the money around you. If you don't become a fool, obviously. if you don't become a fool, because sometimes you can get to a place where you say, wow, I'm way up high so far than I've ever been before. I don't see anyone. I don't see my old friends. I don't see my old ways. I don't see all these things. I'm way far. And then all of a sudden you start doing these things that make you say, oh, I missed that. And start doing self-sabotage, messing up great relationships, messing up your money, forgetting what it was for, that at the end of the day is also so you can be generous and give of yourself and also give of your treasure. We forget those things and then boom, you start seeing the effects. The laws don't even care how sweet you are, how cute you are. The laws are gonna be the laws. And so that's the beautiful thing about it, that even if you fall, you know you can get right back up by hopping back into the principles again. Now, we better say glory to God for that, because I think that if I was God, I probably would say enough is enough. I probably would have said it to me a long time ago. I don't know. You know, you're like, cut this. Let's do this on the next go round, right? With your kids, which sometimes that happens too. We do it for our next generation. So it's never too late.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's so many great nuggets, and I hope people got the affirmation that you just now shared, that you said that I no longer work for money. Well, money works for me. Money comes to me easily and frequently.
And frequently.
All right. There you go. The power of words, the power of words. And the thing is to say it with actual meaning. It's when I say that, that is a responsibility that comes with us. It's that we've got to believe with our whole being.
Yes.
And it's got to be a thing where we put into action, and it begins with a small step. You know, the book Think and Grow Rich is thinking first.
Yes.
That's why we want to work on ourselves. And that thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions, which then lead to results. And so it's so powerful when you give something as simple as that for the right ground, when that seed is dropped, it will flourish. And so I hope everyone actually take a mental note and then a physical note of what you just now shared in that regard. Let me ask you, with all that we've communicated thus far, when I say that we're talking financial freedom being a necessity, not a luxury, why is that?
Because it's like next to breathing, like how you live in when finances are always strapped. It's suffocating. It's draining of your spirit, of your confidence. It's not about saying having it so that you can say, oh, I have more than enough and I'm seeing it stack up. We're talking about where if that's what you're thinking about all the time, then that's where you have your faith in. You won't have your faith in God, because the moment you've been trying to pray, you got one eye open and you're thinking about the bills, or you're thinking about what's not being done or what have you. It gets in the way when we don't have financial freedom. And at least it was a time where we couldn't, right? That it was much harder. But we've had ancestors that have figured it out in the mix of when it looked like it wasn't figure outable. Like where it's like you couldn't, it looked like there was no way, and there was a way. I have this amazing calendar, 2021 calendar that came from St. Philip's AME. And on the back of the calendar, I mean, each month they're telling you about someone, obviously, here go our girl, our new VP, right? Most people would have thought like, thumbs down, you're not doing that. Go sit down. What are you talking about, right? They're saying you're not even Black, right? All this stuff, right? And look at where she is. It's because about what she believed and what she knew was her call. But right here has 101 great African Americans, from civil rights all the way throughout writers and musicians, explorers and sports heroes and, you know, educators and historians. And this, as simple as it is, and this came from my mom's church, right? I would always make it where at least once a month, I go to church with mom, because mom and I didn't go to the same church. And she loved this church because it kind of reminds her of the Catholic church she grew up in, and she went to Catholic school, but I didn't. And I, you know, in Holy Spirit filled, a whole different, you know, non-denominational church. But our mommy daughter time, it was important to her. So sometimes I would go and just surprise her in the same, you know, pew that I know that she would be in, and like just come in, you know, it would just make her day. And so because I've sewn into the church, they have me on a list. Now they would have no clue, and I would have no clue of how much of a blessing this was in the middle of a pandemic where people of color have gone through so much. And just to think that they're sending this out to everyone who obviously is ever given, I don't know. But this is like a gift that is so immeasurable for me, because there's some people on here that I did not know of, even though I've studied Black history. So it makes you now say, it is always about your beliefs. And faith comes by hearing and hearing. And the word says hearing the word of God, but whatever you hear over and over, it becomes a truth to you. So if you can hear over and over whatever you want to hear, like whatever you want to see, and you hear it with your own words, your own voice, baby, that's powerful. And that voice starts to ring out to where
and you start to believe, and you start to believe your voice.
Yes, you believe your voice, and then now that conviction, and now when you speak, other people believe your voice. And then you start making impact. So you go from passion to impact, and then they can hear, like, when that kind of stuff happens, nothing but love. Like, you start loving yourself, you start knowing how to love people, and so you start nurturing. That's something everyone wants. I don't care how tough, how hard, what they've been through. And then now you can grab up that knowledge, and now the knowledge starts to stick. Now things is not just falling on that stony ground anymore. Mm-hmm. And you start to do something with it, with these talents, and you start to flip it, baby, and start making something of it. And now people start calling you and say, I need to know how to do that. That's why I pour my heart out every time when I speak to people, because I don't care. It might just be one person that say, you know what? They told me I couldn't do it, but in my heart, I know I can. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
I've had to be my own cheerleader so many times, you know? So I know what that is.
Let me ask you, when you think about all of those elements that are remnants of your success, and you think about those elements that you know are necessary for success, how has that factored in you creating the Pink Millies, your Pink Millionaire Club?
That is so crazy, because I just laid out that passion, impact, nurture, and that knowledge. That's what Pink stands for. That's what Pink stands for. Of course, I love the pink chair and all that. You know what I mean? And believe it or not, when I was younger, I didn't like pink. I always liked blue. So you're going to see like that aqua blue, like infused in with the pink, right? But that feminine side that is so powerful, where you can tap into love, even if you've been hurt, even if you've been, you know, women have that knack where it doesn't, it's not as hard for them to tap in and love and even forgive and what have you. Sometimes it's hard, it gets, you know, over time you get a little bit more rigid, but that's where our nature is. We feel better in those places, right? And so Pink Millionaire Club is where I'm like, hey, this is where it's at. This is how I created my wealth. I didn't create my wealth by being a guerrilla marketer. I didn't create my wealth by stepping on other people's toes, taking from people, what have you. It was the passion for God and his people, going out there, consistently making impact, saying, I want to leave something better and different than I found it, and nurturing people. And sometimes that's tough love, right? To say, come on, pull yourself up by the bootstrap. Some people are depending on you. And we've got a moment right now. We got to make the best of this moment. And then consistently immersing myself in knowledge in the area where God has placed me. And that's in the spiritual mindset, as well as, you know, finances, but in most important, family. Family, that importance of family is where I'm always looking at how I can bring families together. And the enemy will attack me with things, my family, literally. And then when I start now saying, oh, no, let me go back and stand on guard with my family. And I say, no, that's not what God said. God got that. And I'll continue to pray and pray for other people's families. That's how I've done the podcast, Power Start Your Day, 1,070 episodes today, praying for other people's family. And it all just seems to work out exactly the way he wants it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Not my will, but your will be done.
I will. You know better.
That's
you know
it.
Better. My finite mind. I mean, we want some things that we shouldn't even want. Isn't that true?
Hey, I know that's right. And I tell you what, I was so excited when I got exposed to your podcast, Power Start Your Day. And 2012, 365 days, I got up at 6 a.m. and I did a daily habit call. And I started listening to it recently because I was like, my goodness, this here, Power Start Your Day, feeds that which I have missed, but I knew that work that it required wasn't something that I was willing to go back and do again. So your ability to continue to push forward with that, I know the value of it because it's something that I've experienced on both sides. And so I will tell you that as you continue to deliver that message, and I see now with you on Clubhouse and have an opportunity to share the platform with you, and so grateful for that opportunity. I just see so many things opening up because it's not monologue. And I see and hear your passion come through. And I see how that goes out and impacts when I'm just sitting back listening. I can see when you get the fight in you, when something is, a question may come that literally causes you to literally get ready to go really, really in. And I can hear it. And the vibe is so strong. It's like that vibration starts to move things. Can you feel yourself when you end up doing that?
I do. Like literally, my husband would say this joke, like when I'm going to speak like on stage, and I'm glad that at least Clubhouse, they can't see you, right? Because sometimes I have my hair wrapped up in a bonnet. But literally, even if I have like my extensions, like hair starts sticking up like this, right? And he's like, he's looking, and I see he's looking up, and he's like, it's happening. And I'm like, no, where's the hairspray? It's energy. It's energy. And we are energetic beings. And yes, it'll be something. It's almost like I know it's the fight in the spirit of something that's trying to conquer someone that I know that they are magnificent, that I know that they have more than potential. They have, you know, like this huge prosperity, just baby that just need to be birthed. Like literally, and like they've been telling themselves, no, I don't want kids, you know? And I'm like, absolutely not. We were brought here to this earth to do more and bring forth more than even what the earth brought forth. We are the creators, we're the dominators. And so when people start feeling like they are less than creative and they feel like they're being dominated, yeah, little Harriet Tubman kind of rise up in me about that. It does, it really does. And sometimes I'll be like, okay, girl, just chill out, it ain't that serious. And then I'm like, later on, I'm like, it was because somebody's kid or grandkid or great-great-grandkid would probably go without if that pattern wasn't interrupted.
Yeah, that's it. The pattern, bro. I mean, literally. And it's so refreshing being able to sit back and see someone doing that, which I know that I do. And I don't apologize for it because I say that I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, this is a reflection of love. And I hear nothing but love when I see you do that. And you know, I've found that those who are closest to us that have allowed themselves to be mentored because they do trust the relationship, then they know in turn, though it may come quote unquote hard, but I don't even like to use the term tough love because I'm not tough loving you, I'm just loving you.
Yeah.
Because if I pull back, that then reflects that I'm not loving you. I'm literally saying, you know what? Okay, you good. You can handle it. Go ahead. I'm not gonna cast these pearls upon those swine. Cause it's not good ground. It's not ready to be received. And I'm not, and I have to have permission to speak into your life. You gotta give me that because your life.
Yeah.
So how do you find yourself when you are in that situation? How do you find yourself being able to say, you've done your very best and you've got to let them grow through their experience.
Graceful detachment is freeing for everyone. I think that, you know, identifying that number one, you want to lead who want to be led and you want to feed who want to be fed. I truly believe that. I don't believe that everyone is everyone's mentor. Impossible. Who would that leave somebody else to mentor? So when I have a detachment situation, which it must happen, how does things evolve if something doesn't let go to make room for something else to pick up? When I think about that, if I hadn't done graceful detachment along the ways of my life, then it would have been not enough room for me to grow as far as I've gone. And I know that sometimes it might catch us by surprise, where we may, in the beginning, think of it from an egotistical standpoint, where it may be, and women have that too. It's not just men. Ego is not just a man thing. It's a person thing. It's the flesh thing. It's the, and then we can forget that there is a reason, season, and very seldomly a lifetime for every single thing. Right? A time for everything under the sun. And sometimes when a time is changed, there's resistance. And I have found that as soon as I like surrender to whatever the situation is, it has always been more the huge sunshine after the storm. And I would attest that too. I tell people, hey, you don't run from the storms, because that's how eagles elevate, right? Is they wait for the storm, and they ride that storm up. And you can't do that with a whole big flock. Sometimes when you're trying to elevate, it's required to just kind of let go. I'm not the one to be like, oh, let the chickens go and whatever. No, it's just maybe an eagle that wasn't ready to rise with you or should have been flying with you. Some of them that should have never flown with you in the first place, right? I mean, if, you know, Abraham Lot situation, God chose Abraham, but he also chose Lot. Anybody tell him to do that? So, but he still was, once he did graceful detachment, that's when he went from Abram to Abraham. So sometimes in the midst, I mean, Lot was cutting up. You know what I'm saying? And so you think like, wait a minute, dude, I brought you with me. I was good to you. You know, God, I mean, I've had those moments. But every time when I'll get that moment and allow the Lord to say, hey, hold on. Are you forgetting that I know best? I've been watching this the whole time. I even know the conversations that's being said when you're not in the room. I know things that are being done. Be okay with it. And when I surrender like that palm tree in the tropics that look like it's not as strong as an oak tree, but it just bends with the storm. And then when the storm is done, the palm tree is still there. But many of the oak trees down in the ground, having to be cut down, all this kind of stuff. I'd rather roll with the nature of God. And it's always elevated me higher and higher. I can remember some things that at the moment I would think was horrible. I don't want to go all along in that. Like, that could be a book. And as a matter of fact, some of it will be in a book. But like, I start saying, girl, did all that really happen? You know, because I look back at my life and be like, whoa, right? Did all that really happen? But it's like, yes, it did. It happened to that stage of Nicola. And it was necessary for this stage of Nicola. And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference on the graceful detachment and knowing that we're not called to lead everybody, so don't try. And just because they rolled with you for a moment don't mean they're going to die with you. Like, that's very few and often, like very few and far between that somebody ride and really die with you, right? Sometimes they were only riding because it seemed like you were alive. They were only riding because it felt like they can get on your back and ride a tide. That was what it was for. So release them. When I see like where God is taking me, like right now, 2020 was a pandemic, even for relationships in my life that he cut off. I am so grateful. Like, I am smiling at the goodbyes. Mm-hmm. I'm smiling at the goodbyes Because when he now start giving me a glimpse of the doors that have been opened and what have you, many of those people, it's like, you know, it'd have been like the OJ, and if it don't fit, it will acquit. You know what I'm saying? They didn't fit. They don't fit with your next season, your next go round. And that's perfect. And you didn't fit with their next season. I don't think, like, I'm not that egotistical, like, oh, they ain't going. No, I don't fit with your next season. Wherever that is none of my business anymore. And be okay with that.
Wow. Wow. Talking about that no fit thing, and I think about you and Robert as a couple. I know there are times in which you must feel for him just because you love him. Because I can tell you that with my wife transitioning over the last year, and then seeing her move out of a place that she'd been in for, you know, most of her adult life, over 26 years. And then seeing the revelation of what was thought to be real relationships and how things seemed to completely fizzle out. And how I felt as a husband, the person closest to her, and seeing, okay, well, what does that really say? And I think about what you shared the other day about those relationships that you just let go, and those things that don't fit even what you just now said right now. How have things that you've seen Robert experience with you being closest to him caused you to feel, and how did you support it?
Robert and I, we've been married now 15 years, 17 years together. And you may say 17 years later was when he first said, I'm gonna listen to you the first time. Like, so, you know, it's frustrating because when you kind of, I want to talk about the gifts of seeing and all this stuff, but when you kind of have intuition and you kind of can raise up, and I'm forgiving. I don't like move at first. I always give people opportunity to correct before you invalidate that. Even when, you know, it always, the word says that you got to go to your brother and let him know. It's always like a conversation where I would always have the conversation. Now that's the different part about me that I found, like, I thought that it would be normal, but people really don't like those conversations where you acknowledge to them, like, hey, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm not seeing what I am seeing, or that this is what, and then they don't tell the truth because they're not used to those conversations. At first, I was like, they just
lie. Very true.
But then I realized, and I had to have some compassion later to say, that's different for them.
Yeah.
Like, it might be real to me because of the spiritual weapons I had along the way of life, where I'm like, I just want to live in truth. But everyone hadn't come to that place to where that's all they want to live, because it feels a little bit nice. We know that it feels nice sometimes to just, like, not be real and then fool yourself that, you know, it's okay to do wrong to people who do you right, or it's okay to, because it's so common.
Yes.
We see it so common. We see where people don't even honor their parents. We see where people don't even honor, you know, their marriages. We see people don't honor. So it's become so common, but it doesn't mean that it's right. So, but at the end of the day, it's not my job to judge it. I just got to make sure that I'm not only doing it for them, I'm doing it for me, so that it's not this, like, bitterness. Like, I have so many big, big, not only dreams, but assignments. I can't hold that petty stuff. So I got to release it. And I let them go on and do all whatever they got to do. And I said, well, I had the conversation. So they can give the story they want. They like to live in those lands, right? But that's not my business anymore. That's what you gotta say. Like, that's not my business anymore. People say, well, how do you just keep moving on? Is when I realize that, listen, I'm waking up to be about my Father's business, and everything can't be my business, you know? And that if you know when it doesn't fit, and you gotta learn to move on, the graceful detachment. And my husband on the other side, he takes a little bit longer for the graceful detachment. He'll be like, you know, don't be so hard. I said, well, how am I being hard on them if I'm just saying the truth, right? And I'm like, I'm just asking for the truth. And he said, they're like, would you let that truth go sometime? Just let that go, just let it ride. And then when he sees that it can be very hurtful, then he's like, dang. I know I should have listened to you. But 17 years later, he's just now saying, I'm gonna listen the first time. And you know what that did for me? It scared me to step up my game in the standpoint of saying, I would never want to come out of manipulation with someone who trusts me with the truth. And so what he did is even made me to say, you know what, let me kind of observe a little bit longer and only come like, and I always did only come when I feel it, I'll say, this is what I feel. I'm not going to double guess my gut because it's why I'm alive today. A whole nother story, but you can look in my eyes and you can see it's why I'm alive today. My gut of knowing people and vibrations of when people are just not all the way well. And I did it. Now he trusts me to say, I'm going to listen to you the first time. He says, step up the game on, help them to understand more about why you think the way you think and what the whole ending goal in mind is for us to remain healthy, because people always say the Jacksons are good people. But when bad things keep happening to good people because they let not so good people in, after a moment, you will start saying, I can't keep letting people in. And then that will block out some good people. You know what I mean? So you have to have a good balance with that. And so we're not saying guard, we ain't no celebs like that, but I don't know why people be acting all kind of cray cray when folks start being a little successful. We grind it from the bottom up, you know, and we show everybody else how to grind. I don't understand what that's about, but that ain't my business no more.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the spirit of it. And it's so healthy to be able to have those relationships where that real talk is always there. Because you're right. Most people don't operate in a place where there's nothing but truth, where you care enough to always stand on truth and then you go understand, you know, that whole thing of communicating to say, give a person an opportunity to clarify what it is that you saw or thought you saw and ensure that it was right. And in fact, the intent was there. I always tell people, I don't have the ability, I don't have the alibi of saying, I didn't mean to say that. One thing you can count on Nate Scott is that if I say something, I actually meant to say what I said. The only thing you can come back to me and ask me, tell me what you felt about it, and then I can tell you whether or not that was my intent or not. Now, if I end up telling and say, yep, that's exactly what I said, and that's exactly what I meant, then that's exactly because I was intentional. But I'm very intentional and precise with when I'm speaking and when I say, because I know the power of words.
Yeah.
The next thing I want to ask you as we're getting closer to the end is, let's talk about Caden and your love as a basketball mom.
Oh, talk about what you're going to do that at the end. That's not like even fair. Like you see like how I totally like light up. Like I was like that little, like total amateur, like athlete. I was double Dutch world champion back in the 80s. You know, we were that junior team. Remember on McDonald's, that McDonald's commercial where they had the double Dutch girls. We were the junior team to them and we did world champion. And so that whole thing, I never went into like basketball or what have you, but I could remember, you know, Air Jordan, you know, Michael Jordan had gotten me watching the game. And then after I began to realize that out of all the games, that's like my favorite. And so my son, he's like my older son, he is 25 and he literally, he's not even tall. He would have been like an Allen Iverson. He's not tall, but he can jump like high. And I would watch him play against big boys and get around or whatever. And it was just like this thing. And it just does something to me. You know, you're passionate about something. And then now Caden comes along and want to sleep with the ball from the time he's like two. Like he wants to sleep, like never want the ball to get out of his hand. And so we start putting him in things with basketball and we realize that even his body started growing like tree trunk, like a basketball player, right? His hands are long, the arms are long, but he loves it. And when I fell more in love with it when I saw that it was something that you didn't have to tell him to go work out. You didn't have to tell him to go to the court. You didn't have to, he would do it on his own and he would be working on his skill and whatever. Then when you get on and you see him like, it's like magic when someone has passion for something. We have this bond connection with this, right? And so he gets on and that's like what he do. And that was part of even my why on why I wanted to retire not retire, like go away totally, but I wanted to become financially free so that I could be there. If he needed to go on a travel team, that wouldn't be an obstruction, that if it, whatever it cost us to do, it wouldn't be an obstruction. And obviously dad has responsibilities too, right? But I wanted it to be that no matter what, it would never be an obstruction to what he wanted until he decides that if he doesn't want it, then I'd have to be okay with that too, right? I just pray he don't do that when he gets to the pro. I pray. But he is an amazing child, my first full-term baby. And now with my son, who I thought he was going to be a professional ball player. I even thought he was going to go into like the International League later on. And he had thought about even going straight into NFL, even as an adult. I mean, I'm in NBA as an adult. And but he chose it's not what he wants to do. You know, he's a brilliant business mind. I'm sure he'll end up being an amazing entrepreneur. But Caden is like, he loves this. Like, he'll be like, Ma, I didn't practice today. Can we go home? I got to go practice. Like, he loves it. And you know what made me fall in love with it? His passion, that I can see that is something that he can do where he would do it for free. And when you can do it for free and love it, someone would be willing to pay you high dollar for it. And so we're not riding on that. That's why we become financially free, so that it wouldn't be that he let us down financially if he decided not to do that. But if that's what he wants to do, us becoming financially free will make it easier for our kids to walk in freedom, you know? And we begin to now create our family office with our finances, our infinite bank with our family bank, so that now we make sure that we're good with these resources, because out of all the generations of our family, this generation as well, we have a few other seven-figure earners in our family through different things, this generation. But it was this generation where it started. So I don't want to be the one to mess it up. So we're being very good stewards over it, understanding, you know, money must go in, you know, in cyclical motion. It must be in cycles to come back to us. And so that this will now not only, again, make opportunities for us right now, but even for him and all of our children's children, right? We're like literally looking right now for land for our family so that we can build out homes and stuff and have us, you know, have our own homes. But then we also are looking even for a gym. And I'm like, hey, we need to have a gym, because when it gets cold in Georgia, Caden want to play. And sometimes the gyms, but just to think that whatever we say that we want to do, that we have a means to do it. That's important. That's important. And so freedom means just like what it is, without constraints. Without constraints. And I think everybody deserves that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we're closing it out, I will tell you that there's so much that I'm appreciative of in having you on and being able to just have this real conversation, because so many times I think people have this image of successful people and don't understand that, you know, we're real. Yeah. And actions are real, and the things that we get excited about are real. It's just that our mindset is not one of limitation. And we are able to think about all the things that we actually need and desire, such as, hey, if it's cold out, we need to have a gym so that, you know, we can continue to work out. A simple thing that may sound, it's like, yeah, why not think about it? If it's available, then it's got to mean you obviously can go get it. And if somebody's gotten it before, then it was just a matter of them doing something to go get it. Yeah. So it's a plan to do that, which can do it. So it's not any mystery to it. And so I appreciate that you're someone that's a true advocate and a true voice of demystifying the myths.
Yes.
You tell the truth about what is, and in turn, let people know that, no, there's no excuse for not being able to go about doing it if you truly, sincerely actually do want it, because there's a way to get it. It's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to invest the time to learn how to.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I'm even so excited for Pink Millionaire Club, you know, to be able to bring, you know, women and men are one joined too. And I'm like, okay, you know, it now they know what it means. They probably say, I can stand for that. And it's okay. But you know, where women can come and from an entrepreneurial standpoint and say from scratch, I can go in and take it to this first million for the fact that I do have a passion. I want to make impact. I want to do more for people and make, you know, more stake my claim here on earth during this time and then continue to learn. And, you know, we've now extended, I'm a co-founder now with The Best You TV. And so they'll be hearing a lot more about that. And this will give a lot more people voices. There are a lot of people who I know should be heard or might would say, you know what, we're doing podcasts, whatever. You know, nowadays things are going in the huge, you know, tech world. You know, we have the huge tech world. We think about FANG, you know, Facebook, Amazon. We think about, you know, all of the Apple and we think about the Netflix and we're thinking about the Google. That's showing that big FANG is showing us where the world is going into that tech again. And that, you know we had the tech bubble burst, but we're realizing that we're going to need this for a lifetime nowadays. And so being able to have a place where, you know, even The Best You TV will be on Roku, Google TV, all these different places. And I will have an opportunity for saying, hey, this is a voice that should be heard and be able to be a connection or a resource to people to do that is like absolutely big. And so I already know that me having Pink Millionaire Club with all these emerging entrepreneurs, they're gonna need some platforms. And so I am excited about these, you know, different opportunities. But if I had not done what we talked about from the very beginning, I'm like a person, like, I don't want you to forget what we talked about first, you know, shifting the mind to say, I can do this, to making money, because you must say, I have to be of value and I have to now bring valuables to the marketplace so I can have money so that I can manage it, do what I want to do with it, right? And you manage that money and then now you can manage that money where you have leftover overflow and then you invest that. And now the money starts to work for you. And you get mentors to help you continue to grow that. You just say like the five M's, right? That anyone can do, no matter where they are. No matter where they are, anyone can do that. And that's what I live by. Things that no matter where you are, you can start implementing these principles and things can change for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, everyone, I hope that you're really, really making note. We want to give you ways to make the connection. But before I do that, I just want you to hold on to all that has been shared and understand that it is possible. The American dream of financial freedom, it is alive and well. And whatever that may mean to you, you can have it if you will simply invest the time to learn how to get it. I know Power Start. Your day is Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's on various platforms, yeah. Not just Blog Talk, but now also on Clubhouse. Nicola, what other ways can they reach you as well as get connected to the Pink Millionaire Club?
I would have them go straight to NicolaSmithJackson.com. Real simple. And that's the simplest, easiest, fastest, right? You're going to hear those three things, like simplest, easiest, fastest way to do stuff. And then you go there and you can also connect with me in my social media from there. Even at the bottom of the page is the Instagram. Also, the podcast is right there also on the page. And also the five money moves that wealthy people make in a downturn in the economy, which is a free gift that you can literally start your journey to financial freedom from there too.
Awesome, awesome. And then I like to always leave off with asking, if you have any question of me that you'd like to ask, and if not, how may I be of service to you?
Well, you've shared on Power Start Your Day many of days. I know now with Clubhouse, we've even been having conversations of, you know, bringing in other guests and stuff. And, you know, it's such a blessing because I had wondered how to transition into, I never knew how to podcast, right? And I got all the way to 1,000 episodes doing the best way I knew. And then I started, you know, realizing that my podcast was a little different than other people's. I saw a lot more people doing more interviews and stuff. And one of my mentors said, hey, you know, you could start interviewing some people and bring more traction to the podcast. So we landed in Clubhouse, and then there was a few people we knew say, hey, let's start having conversations. And it's been so fun. So now we're seeing now even the transition of Power Start Your Day, where I will start having guests and have interviews and interjections. I didn't know anything about that stuff. This is why I tell people, like, I am always just like so real. Like, I'm like, I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know that I could do like something for 5 days a week. It was 30 minutes and it was all just me over 1,000+ episodes. I think probably to 1,000, maybe 30 or 40 maybe episodes. And now we're now having collaboration, having fun. And you know, that transition is because I surrendered to even the possibility of new seasons. Always we have to do that. And so I'm excited for it. So you've served. And thank you so much, you and Andrea, for even just supporting the podcast. And it's going to flow into even the Best You TV. I can already see it. I'm like, isn't this crazy? I'll be able to tell another story. Like, I didn't know anything about any of that. But I see how God is navigating it. And it's going to be just so amazing. So thank you so much for all you've already done.
You're absolutely welcome. Like I said, I support people. And like I said, your spirit is on fire, and I celebrate you. I respect you. I honor you. And you got support over here. So to that end, thank you once again. And to each and every one of you that are listening, please make sure that you, you know, share this. If you got value from it, share it, and be sure to drop a note. Let us know what value you actually received. So until next time, take care and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.